إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد Welcome all of you once again continuing our classes about Hajj, still reading from the book Tafsir al-Nasik, Ahkam al-Manasik. فضيلة الشيخ العلامة المحدث عبد المحسن بن حمد العباد البدر غفر الله له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات آمين. Tonight, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to read Al-Ihram bil-Hajj في اليوم الثامن من مكة والذهاب إلى منها. To engage in a state of ihram for Hajj and to do the actions of Hajj, the rites of Hajj on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. The 8th of Dhul Hijjah and live in Mecca, the first station is Mina. Because the Hijjahs now, from the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, they're going to be moving. They're not going to be in one place. They're going to go to Mina, then to Arafat, then to Muzdalifa, then go back to Mina, they go to Mecca, then go back to Mina. That's how it is. And here is the breakdown for us. Now at this point, the Hujjaj, who came to Mecca, and they, as there is three ways, three ansak, tamattu', Qiran, Ifrad. All of them. Every Muslim who came to make Hajj, once they arrive to Mecca, they make Tawaf. All of them. The one who's doing Tamattu', Qiran, and Ifrad. And the one who's making Tamattu', they finish a whole Umrah, complete Umrah. They do Tawaf, Sa'i, and they take care of their hair, care of the head, and then they become a normal people. And they wait until this day of the 8th of the Hijjah and engage in the state of Ihram again and say, Labbaik Allahumma Hajjah. As for the Qarin and the Mufrid, they stayed on their Ihram. They don't come out until the day of the Eid. So the Shaykh said, Hafidhahullah, says that the people of Mecca now, who live in Mecca, they want to make Hajj. See, now the people of Mecca, they want to make Hajj, they wait until this day, the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. And also, those who do not live in Mecca, but they arrive to Mecca from everywhere. Whether from Taif, Jeddah, Medina, from Asia, Europe, America, Africa, Australia, and the like. All those people who are already in Mecca, all of them, they engage in a state of ihram to perform Hajj on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. And it is called Yawm al-Tarwiyah. Also, this day is called Yawm al-Tarwiyah. Everybody engage in a state of ihram from where they at. The people, the residents of Mecca, from their homes. The pilgrims, those in hotels, they do it in their hotel rooms. Those in villas, or they rent houses or villas or apartment buildings, they do it where they are. And then they go to Mina. That morning, they proceed to Mina, and they will pray Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, Fajr in Mina. Of course, every Salat in its time. It doesn't mean once they get there, they pray all this together. No, meaning this is the prayers that they're going to pray while they are in Mina that day and that night. They do not combine, but they shorten the prayers who have 4 to 2. Remember this rule. There is no combining in Mina. Period. However, there is shortening for Dhuhr, Asr, and Isha, 2 rak'ats. But every salat is to be performed at its time. There is no combining between Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha. He says, because the Sahaba, the companions of Ridwanullahi alayhim, those who, when they finished the Umrah with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's what they did. Because remember, when the Prophet ﷺ completed the Tawaf and the Sahi, he commanded all the companions who didn't bring with them the Hadi, the sacrificial animal for the Hadi, he, Prophet ﷺ, commanded them to switch it to Umrah and wait until the 8th of the Hijjah and engage in Ihram. So that's what they did, the companions. They waited until the 8th of the Hijjah and they engage in a state of Ihram along with the people who lives in Mecca, reside in it. As for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and whoever from the companions who brought the Hadi with them, they stayed on Ihram. Once they made Tawaf and Sa'i, they remained on their Ihram, because if anybody brought with him the animal for sacrifice, they will stay on a state of Ihram until they slaughter that Hadi. And the Hadi has to be slaughtered on the Eid day, not before that. Likewise, the Shaykh mentioned, if somebody already is staying, there is no combining in Mina. We're gonna get to Arafat. Now we're just talking about Mina. That's why I said Mina. Inshallah. There's no combining in Mina. As for Arafat, we're going to learn, inshallah, later on. Also, some people, they may be in Mina. Because some people, they go early. They go on the 7th and sit on Mina. Some people, they may not have, find a residence in Mecca. What they do, they go and stay in Mina. So those people who are already in Mina on the 8th of Al-Hijjah, they engage in a state of Ihram in Mina. They take a shower too and do what they gotta do, mashallah, and they say Labbaik Allahumma Hajr in that morning. They don't have to go to Mecca to get in a state of Ihram, okay, from it. That's point number one. Point number two, it is not from the Sunnah for the people of Mecca or those who are already in Mecca to go to the Masjid al-Haram where the Kaaba is to engage in a state of Ihram. Likewise, it is not from the Sunnah for them to go and make Tawaf al-Wada'. Because some people, they say, let's make Tawaf. Farewell Tawaf for the house of Allah before we go for Hajj. Nor it is from the Sunnah for them to go make Sa'i and then go. Okay? All these are misconceptions that some people think and believe. Some people, they believe they are in a hotel, they are in some places, in areas in Mecca, because Mecca is a big city, one of the main subdivisions or areas is Al-Aziziyya, very famous. It's far from the Haram, but it's famous. A lot of hujjaj stay there. It's all apartments. It's not like big hotels. It's all apartment buildings and villas that is crowded with the hujjaj, with the pilgrims, alhamdulillah. So some people, they think, look, on that 8th of the Hijjah, they take their clothing of Ihram and they believe that they have to do it in the Haram. So they don't have to. Okay? They do it whenever they are. Because the Sahaba, once again, and they are example for us, the companions, they engage in a state of Ihram for Hajj from Mecca. But from where they are, they did not do any of this what Muslims do. None of the companions went to the Haram and that's when he said, Labbaik Allahumma Hajj and the like. Rather, whoever, whoever staying where they are, that morning, they engage in state of ihram, they say labbaik Allahumma hajj, and they went to Mina. Number three. Now the shortening of the prayer and the combining of it when it is applicable, because it is combining, you combine in Arafat and Muzdalifah. This is in Hajj, both are equal. All the pilgrims actually are equal in it. Those Mecca ones who reside in Mecca, or those who are not. Okay? Even the Meccans, Mina is right there, is next to them, maybe like a mile, 2 or 3 miles or something. But them too, they can combine in Arafat and they can shorten the prayers in Mina and Arafat and the like. How is that? The Shaykh says because the Prophet ﷺ did not command the Meccan people, the Meccan people who perform Hajj with him, to complete their prayers when he shortened his. You see? Okay? The Prophet ﷺ, people from Mecca, they reside in Mecca, they didn't travel, they live in Mecca. They perform the prayer of the Prophet ﷺ, and they pray too. Prophet ﷺ didn't tell them, complete your prayers. And he, the Shaykh mentioned a hadith that author that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he made Hajj and he was the leader of the believers when he was the Khalifa. He led the people in Salat in Mecca when he was still in Mecca, and he performed 2 rak'at, Dhuhr, Asr, Isha. When he finished, he says, "O people of Mecca, complete your prayers because we are travelers." See? He's in Mecca, he told them that. When he prayed too, he reminded the residents, he told them, "All people of Mecca, those who are resident of Mecca, complete Salat 4, meaning they have to get up and make 2 missing rak'ahs. But when he was in Mina, he prayed 2 rak'ahs, but he said there is no report that he told the people of Mecca, "All people of Mecca, complete your prayers." In the Shaykh, he says, those people from the people of Mecca, the residents of Mecca, them combining and shortening is because of Hajj. It's because of them performing Hajj. That's why. He says, so let's say if there is somebody with them from Mecca, but they are not performing Hajj. This is a driver. An old family, old man, but they have a driver. But that driver is not making Hajj. Okay? That driver is not making Hajj. You just taking them from place to a place. That person does not combine and does not shorten. This is only for those who are performing Hajj. Point number 4. If somebody engages in a state of ihram for Hajj, in the 8th of the Hijjah, say labbaik Allahumma Hajj, from the mutamatti'een, the person who doing Hajj tamattu'. But then after that, they find out that they didn't make tawaf. The umrah, tawaf for the umrah, or sa'i. Or maybe he did only, because some people do this. We don't know until they start talking in Mina or whatever. You do tawaf? No, I didn't do tawaf. Or somebody, the Shaykh says, they did the tawaf, but they didn't do 7, they did only like 5 or 6. Or sa'i, or something like that. This person is not mutamatti anymore. He became a qarin. He became a qarin because he didn't complete the umrah. Because for someone to be mutamatti, they have to complete the umrah. Why? Because this person, since the 8th of the Hijjah comes in, and this person say labbaik hajj and enter in the hajj, cannot go and finish the umrah. That's it. He can go finish it before that, from the 7th or the 6th. But now he's already in Hajj, so automatically he became a qarin, the Shaykh, he says. An example, something happened to Aisha radiallahu anha, because Aisha radiallahu anha, when they arrived to Mecca, because she was with those who accompanied the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she has her menses. She was in her menses, so she didn't make tawaf. Because the woman, their menses, they do not make tawaf. So she was waiting, and her menses continues until the 8th of the Hijjah. Then the Prophet ﷺ tell her, just say that, baika hajjan, and you become a qarina. She became a qarina. So this is if a person did not make tawaf or sa'i for the umrah. Why? Because this is what? Tawaf and sa'i for umrah, what is that? It's rukun. Okay? Remember, this from the arkan, from the pillars. Now the Shaykh, he says, if a person in the umrah, for the hajj of course, the mutamatta, make tawaf and make sa'i, but they did not shave their head. Okay? And they say, Labbaik Allahumma hajjan on the 8th of the Hijjah. That person, the Shaykh, he said, still mutamatti. Because he has left only wajib from the wajibat, an obligatory element from the obligatory element of Umrah. But he has to expiate for that. Okay? Since that person did not shave the head, and the shaving of the head on after finishing the Umrah is not a pillar from the pillars of Umrah, rather it is from the wajibat. So that person is still considered as a mutamatti', but however, he has to expiate for that since he didn't shave his head or trim it. What is the expiation? A shat, a sheep, or a seventh of a camel, or a seventh of a cow. Okay? Meaning that him and six others, they share in a cow or in a camel. But no sharing in a goat or sheep as if for one person. And this expiation, this animal, is for the poor people in the haram. He does not eat from it. Nothing. But the slaughter, that animal that the mutamattia slaughter on the day of the Eid, yes, he can eat from that. He can eat from that, inshallah. Khamisan, number five. That the pilgrims, they spend the night in Mina. Once they go to Mina, they spend the night. They wait until the morning of the 9th of the Hijjah. Spending the night in Mina is mustahab. It's not wajib, it's not obligatory, it's not a pillar from the pillars of Hajj. It's mustahab, recommended. And if someone did not spend the night, that night, not any night now, remember these other nights that they are obligatory from the wajibat. But this night, the first night, when the Hajjaj reached Mina on the 8th of the Hijjah, and this is the ninth, the night of the 9th of the Hijjah, this one is mustahab. If the pilgrims do not spend the night in there, there is nothing against them. That's why some people, they go straight to Arafat. Okay? Some pilgrims, instead of going to Mina, they just skip Mina that day and go to Arafat. There is nothing against those people, but still, it is better for them to follow the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and to go by Mina first, then to Arafat. So now, in summary to this point, the Hajjaj, they will, on the 8th of the Hijjah, remember the dates now, it's very, very important, because we have, there is actions of 8th, there is the actions of the 9th, and there is actions of the 10th, and 11th, the 12th, and the 13th, that's Hajj. Actually, this is the Hajj. 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th of the Hijjah. 6 days, that's the Hajj. Okay? So the 8th of the Hijjah, the pilgrims, they make ihram. This is a summary. Wherever they at, they can engage in a state of ihram once again, like they did in the Umrah. Say, Labbaik Allahumma Hajj, they go to Mina. They pray, they just stay there. There's nothing, much to do, of course, to remember Allah and that. They pray Dhuhr in its time, shortening, Asr, shorten, Maghrib, Isha, shorten. Spend the night, get some rest. The next day is going to be, and the one after it is going to be very, very tough. Then they pray Fajr in its time, and now the day of Arafah began. Al-Wukufu bi-Arafah, number one. Sheikh mentioned points. Number one, it is recommended to leave Mina towards Arafah after the sunrise of the day of Arafah, which is the 9th of the Hijjah. As in the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu, the long hadith in Sahih Muslim, hadith number 2950. And that the Hujjaj, when they start leaving, they make talbiyah and making takbir. Remember, talbiyah, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika lak, labbaik innal hamda wa ni'mata lak wal mulk la sharika lak. And they make takbir because of the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, who says, غَدَوْنَا مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ مِنْ مِنَا إِلَىٰ عَرَفَاتِ مِنَّ الْمُلَبِّي وَمِنَّ الْمُكَبِّرِ. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, in this hadith that is collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, he says, we left with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we left Mina towards Arafat. Some of us, meaning the companions, were saying talbiyah, while others were saying takbir. And also because of the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, that is in Bukhari and Muslim, he was asked, كيف كنتم تصنعون في هذا اليوم مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Somebody asked Anas radiallahu anhu, said, how, what is the thing you used to do in this day of Arafat? What you used to do? قال كان يهل من المهل يهل من المهل فلا ينكر عليه ويكبر من المكبر فلا ينكر عليه. Says some of us, we used to do the talbiyah, and we were not told not to do it, and some of us were making takbir. Number two, point number two, once the pilgrims, they arrive to Arafah, they stay in it. Okay, alhamdulillah, there is camps. Same way in Mina, there is camps, and they are numbered from 1 to, I don't know, 99 or maybe more, Allahu A'lam. Let's say, as we give the example, the other class, if you're in Mina, your camp is 45, then in Arafat, you're going to be in camp 45 too. So it's a big place, a lot of tents, people can get lost easy in there. So once you get there, mashallah, there is tents, and you sit there, you lay down if you want, take some rest. But the Sheikh is saying that you gotta make sure you're inside the boundaries of Arafah. Okay, and especially there is signs. Signs that tell you this is where Arafat starts. So nobody should just stay next to Arafah. You have to be in Arafah. Why? Because being in Arafah, not next to it, or close to it, or beside it, being in it, putting your foot on the ground of Arafah, that's a pillar from the pillars of Hajj. Not only that is a pillar from the pillars of Hajj, that's Hajj itself. As the Prophet says, Al-Hajj Arafah. And how you understand this, Al-Hajj Arafah, doesn't mean if somebody just go to Arafah and come back and say, Hajj. No tawaf, no muzdalifah, no. Meaning that this is the most important thing. If a person, does the ulama, they mention, if a person miss Arafah, has missed the whole Hajj. Has to make the Hajj again next year. Look how important to pay attention. This is especially for those people who walk. Like I told you, if you go on a bus, inshallah, those buses, they're not going to drop you outside Arafah. That's If they did, that's a big violation. Now, those bus drivers, they would not open the doors until they get you in the camp. And all those camps are inside Arafah. Who need to pay more attention are those people who they decide to walk. Because some people do walk from Mina to Arafah. Maybe 9 kilometers or something. It's like 6 or 7 miles. Yes, a lot of people walk. Or those people who are from Mecca, or they came from Medina, or some of they drive in their own vehicles. Those people have to really pay attention. Okay. Or, let's say the bus break down and the driver get creative and say, look, look, Arafah is over there. Go ahead, guys. Then you have to pay attention. And make sure that you are inside Arafah. Tayyib. Point number three, the time of Arafah, to stand and be in Arafah, starts after Dhuhr, when Dhuhr come time that day. And it extends until Fajr. Now, so you have from Dhuhr, and the whole night, that afternoon, the whole night until Fajr of the 10th of the Hijjah. Why? This point is because the Shaykh says, because the Prophet ﷺ entered Arafah in Zawal, after the Dhuhr time. Because the Prophet ﷺ, when he left Mina, he stopped in Namira. That's when he stopped first, the Prophet ﷺ, and that was before the Dhuhr time, before Zawal al-Shams. And he stayed there until the Zawal, he went to Arafah. That's why the ulama, they mentioned that that's when the time of Arafah starts. Other ulama, they say they start from the Fajr, from that Fajr of Arafah, when they spend that night in Mina. Fajr comes in, that's it, that's when the time of Arafah starts. Anyway, the Shaykh, he says, if someone made it in the morning to Arafah, they cannot leave Arafah before Zawal, before Dhuhr. And also, them and those who made it to Arafah at Dhuhr or after Dhuhr, they should not leave Arafah before sunset. Before sunset. Because it is from wajibat al-hajj, it's not from the pillars of hajj, from the obligatory element of hajj, that whoever make it to Arafah at daytime should stay until sunset. This is different than someone who make it to Arafah after Maghrib. If a person make it to Arafah after Maghrib, they can stay there for 1 minute and leave if they want. They don't even have to come out of the car. They drive in, they just drive into Arafah and make U-turn and come back. You see, go to Muzdalifah, it's permissible. But if someone made it to Arafah before sunset, they made it there in the morning, Dhuhr time, between Dhuhr and Asr time, they have to stay there until Maghrib. And of course, they don't pray Maghrib in there. And it's going to come shortly. Now, it is considered the person who is in Arafah, doesn't matter if he was walking, driving, standing, sitting, laying down, doesn't matter. Because sometimes people in Arabic call this as wuquf bi Arafah. In the books it says al-wuquf. This wuquf literally means standing. But here it doesn't mean standing. Standing, this means that to be in Arafah, to pass by Arafah, to find yourself in Arafah. You want to stand, stand. You want to sit, sit. You want to lay down, you lay down. But some people just, they take it literally and they stand for hours. Akhi, sit down. No, I can't sit. He says, stand in Arafah. No, this is not the understanding, okay? You can lay down, you can walk, you can, alhamdulillah. Point number four, whoever arrived to Arafah at daytime should not leave it before sunset. This is, as it's mentioned, but this is a point by itself, because it is one of the wajibat of Hajj. Okay? Point number five, that the pilgrims who made it to Arafah in the morning, all by Dhuhr time, what they do? They pray Dhuhr and Asr together, they combine together at the time of Dhuhr. Na'am, Abdul Rahim. That's the answer. The pilgrims, when they arrive to Arafah, they wait until Dhuhr time, and they pray both Dhuhr and Asr. They combine and they pray them at the time of Dhuhr, combining and shortening both with one adhan and two iqams. So they call the adhan and then they call the iqama for Dhuhr, pray Dhuhr two rak'at, then they call the iqama for Asr and pray Asr two rak'at, as in the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu. And it is recommended for the imam, here the imam of the Muslims, like now, or its deputy, to, like now, this khutbah is given by the Mufti, Abdul Aziz al-Sheikh. Every Arafah, he's the one who gives a khutbah. Okay, and lead the people in a prayer. So what this imam do? There is a masjid called Masjid Namira, big masjid right by Arafat. That's when the imam give a khutbah. That's the mufti Al-Aziz al-Sheikh Hafizullah, before praying Dhuhr and Asr. In this khutbah, the imam, he mentioned the rulings of Hajj, whatever remains from that day, Arafah, what they do, then Muzdalifah, then the 10th day of the Hijjah and the like. Following the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as it is found in the Hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu. Point number six, it is better for the Hajjaj in Arafah not to fast that day, because remember that day, fasting that day is very important, has a great reward. But for those who are not in Hajj, it is highly recommended for the Muslims to fast on the day of Arafah, the 9th day of the Hijjah. But for the pilgrims, they don't fast that day, because they need strength to remember Allah, to make lala dua in that great day. Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in Arafah, he was not fasting. Okay? As it occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, on the authority of Umm al-Fadl bint al-Harith radiallahu anha, أن ناسا تماروا عندها يوم عرفة في صوم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Some people, they were not arguing, but they were actually going back and forth one another at her presence, whether the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم fasted Arafah or not. Whether the Prophet ﷺ was fasting on the day of Arafah or not. فَقَالَ بَعْدُهُمْ هُوَ صَائِمُ وَقَالَ بَعْدُهُمْ لَيْسَ بِصَائِمُ. So now they're in Arafah, and some they like, yeah, he's fasting. Other they says, no, he's not fasting. So what did she do, radiallahu anha? فَأَرْسَلَتْ إِلَيْهِ بِقَدْحِ لَبْنًا وَهُوَ وَاقِفْ عَلَى بَعِيرٍ فَشَرِبَهُ. So when she saw them doing like that, she just sent a cup of milk to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam while he's standing in Arafah, and he drank it. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam drank that milk. So we don't fast. The Hajjaj do not fast on that day. So the Shaykh, he says, as other than the pilgrims, it is better for them to fast that day. And this is the best day to fast, the voluntary day. The Shaykh, he says, because of the hadith of Abi Qatada radiallahu anhu, wa fihi, وسئل عن صوم يوم عرفة فقال يكفر السنة الماضية والباقية. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was asked about the virtue of the fasting on the day of Arafah. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says he expiates the past year and whatever left in this year, in the present year. It's collected by Imam Muslim. And also in another narration, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "صيام يوم عرفة." Also in Sahih Muslim, "أحتسب على الله أن يكفر السنة التي قبله والسنة التي بعده." Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says that the fasting of Arafah expiate the year that before it and the year that after it. Look, one day. Point number seven, that standing in Arafah or being in Arafah in any place in Arafah doesn't have to be in one place. So now when you it's time, why you pray Dhuhr and Asr together early? So that you have a long time for dua until Maghrib. And you stand and face Qibla for the dua. You face the Qibla. Make talbiyah. You still saying talbiyah, labbaik Allahumma labbaik to the end. You still remembering Allah, making lot of dua in this great day. And have hope. And be and insist in the dua. Don't make dua once. Make the dua and repeat it again and again and again. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the good of this life and the good of the hereafter. Both. Now you ask Allah for the good of both lives, this dunya and in the akhirah. This pleasing Allah and this really تدحر الشيطان ويخزيه. Okay? When the person stand and make dua and cry and ask Allah and humble themselves, this is pleasing to Allah. And this is hated to the shaitan. Shaitan run away in this day. He hides. Can't stand to see all these Muslims making dua and turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah. Likewise, while a person making dua and standing this great day, should make sincere repentance from all sins and disobedience to Allah. All disobedience. So that you can come out from this day clean from sins. The Shaykh says, this is what the person should do. He says, the pilgrim, they should not spend their time in this day by running and walking and exploring. Some people, that's what they do. They go, let's explore Arafah. Some people, what they do, they spend, the Shaykh says, most of that day looking for the Mount of Arafah. This little jebel, little mount, they looking for it. People are making dua, reading Quran, talbiyah, istighfar, these people still looking. And eventually, most likely, they get lost after they couldn't even get back. They don't find the mountain and they couldn't find back to camp. As it is not obligatory to find this mount of Jabal al-Rahma and to climb it, no, because there is no delil. But people, they do that. They go through hardship, put their hardship on themselves, okay, and they look for it. And once they find it, they climb some, they fall and break a leg or whatever the case is. And subhanallah, there's no reward in doing that whatsoever. Wherever you are, you will see this stuff. Now you're hearing me. But you may go to make Hajj and you may be with some people like this. And they be like, you just get to the tent and they like, okay, they talking, whatever, dunya. And then as soon as you pray Dhuhr, they start, who's going with us? Where are you going, guys? We're going looking for the mountain of Rahma, Jabal al-Rahma. And then, okay, I'm coming. You know where it is? I don't know. We're going to ask, alhamdulillah, whoever has a tongue doesn't get lost. Okay. That's what they say. In Arabic they say, إِلِّي بِلْسَانُ مَيْتُوشُ. And then somebody, you may be in a class or something, said to them, Ya Ikhwan, you don't have to go there. Sure, you don't have to. You sit there, man. No, we're going to go to Jabal al-Rahma. And then, no. You stay where you were, Ya Akhi. And remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tayyib. Number 8. Keep in mind while you're there now that this is the greatest gathering of the Muslims, Arafat. Oh, subhanAllah. Many Muslims, millions. You know, they hear every year now 3.5 million, maybe more or less, Allahu A'lam. But that's what they've been saying. That's the greatest gathering of the Muslims. Every year in one place, in one spot. So the Sheikh says, when you see the Muslims from different, subhanAllah, different countries, different background, different this, speak different languages, this, different shapes. Now you remember the gathering Yawm al-Qiyamah. Not only 3.5 million, it's all of the creation, all of the people. All of them. People of Nuh and Ad and Thamud and Ibrahim and Musa and Yusuf and Isa and Muhammad and all of these people, they will gather in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now you, that's a reminder, should remind you. So the same way, all these people, I don't know who they are. And they come in, all of them, from different places. You never know their plans. The never people of China never call people of America, look, we're going to meet. No, they don't know who's coming and who until you get there. Same way, you stand in front of Allah and you see people from the first generation and last generation, all stand in front of Allah. So that reminds you of Yawm al-Qiyamah. And if you really care about yourself and you want to protect yourself from the hellfire and be from the winners, then you got to make a decision at that day. You got to say, look, man, just by yourself, at that moment you're raising your hand and you're seeing people doing so many things, and then a flashback in your life, so like be displayed in front of your eyes right there. All the things you've been doing, and the salat, the fasting, the charity, your livelihood, your relationship with your parents, relationship with your wife, children, neighbors, relationship with your Lord, your aqidah, your knowledge, how much do you know, this and that. And you'll be like, come up with a decision, man. That's it, enough is enough. I got to be serious about my religion, I got to practice, I got to be a better Muslim, I gotta be a better servant of Allah, I gotta be a better husband, better father, better son, better neighbor, better worker, better partner, and the like. Number 9, Sherry says, yes, now in this point he's gonna mention about the virtue of this day of Arafah. Now, there is texts that highlight the virtue of this day of Arafah. From them is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ma min yawmin aktharu min an ya'tiqa Allahu fihi 'abdan min an-nar min yawmi Arafah. Wa innahu la yadnu thumma yubahi bihim al-mala'ika fa yaqulu ma arada ha'ula." Rawahu Muslim an Aisha radiyallahu anha. This hadith that is collected by Imam Muslim, hadith number 3288. I give you this so you can get the translation, the accurate translation. I do my best on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is not a day in which Allah saved more of his slaves from the hellfire than this day of Arafah. Indeed, Allah drew near to his slaves that making dua in Arafah, bragging them with their what they do, that which the angels do. And we know what the angels do. They remember Allah and they worship Allah and their obedience. And of course Allah descend and get near in a way that befits His Majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then He says what they want. He said to the angels, what these ones they want, Allah. mean they want the forgiveness of Allah, they want the rahmah of Allah. Likewise, another hadith pertaining to the virtue of dua and superiority of dua on the day of Arafah. The Prophet says, خير الدعاء دعاء يوم عرفة وخير ما قلت أنا والنبيون من قبلي لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, the best dua is the dua on the day of Arafah. And the best dua that I said and the prophets before me, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. رواه الترمذي عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما وهو حسن لغيره as it is in the Sahih of Imam al-Albani rahimahullah. Naam. Likewise, the Shaykh mentioned a hadith as related to the raising of the hands while making dua in Arafah. So you make dua, this is the best dua, this is the dua of Arafah. And likewise, you raise your hands while you're making the dua, because of the hadith of Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhuma, who said, كُنْتُ رَدِيفَ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم بعرفات فرفع يديه يدعو فمالت به ناقته فسقط خطامها فتناول الخطام بإحدى يديه وهو رافع يده الأخرى. رواه النسائي بإسناد صحيح. Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhuma, he says, I was riding behind the Prophet ﷺ, because he was riding with him. He said the Prophet ﷺ was making dua, raising his hand. This is in Arafah. He said his shikamu moved a little bit so that the reins, you know the reins? Huh? They fall off from his hand. And he was, so the shikam will start moving, so the Prophet ﷺ grabbed the reins with one hand, still raising the other one, making dua. Still raising the other one by itself while he's making dua. Then the Shaykh says there is no specific dua on the Arafah. Likewise, like this from the bid'ah and innovations, the ignorant people who don't learn, they fall into these mistakes. Like in Tawaf and Sa'i, some people, they believe that for every Tawaf, every Sa'i, every round, every shout, there is a specific dua have to be said. La. Likewise, if certain people think that there is only certain dua that you're supposed to say on Arafah, la. Remember, the best thing you say in Arafah is what? La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahul mulk wa lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. You repeat this a lot. You make talbiyah, you read Quran, you make dua for your parents, for yourself, for your family, for your children. Ask Allah to give you halal, to increase your wealth, your health, to give you Jannat al-Firdaus, give you Allah. This is dua. The Shaykh says, you remember Allah and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you recite Quran, you make talbiyah. But it's better for you to say the ad'iyah that are mentioned in Quran and the Sunnah. That's better. They can't be better than that. Cannot be better. So the Shaykh said, it's better for you to know and to supplicate with the ad'iyah that are in the Quran and in the Sunnah. Why? Because they are small words, but they contain a lot. Okay, and also those ad'iyah, when you make them, you know, you're sure and certain that you're not making no mistakes. You see? Some people, they make dua and they may make a mistake. They ask something they shouldn't ask, or they may ask it in a certain way, or they may, while they're making that dua, they may oppressing themselves or oppressing others. You see? Or they may ask in something that they think is good for them, but it's not good for them. Or they may ask Allah something that they think is not good, but actually is good. You see, when they come up with their own dua. But when you make dua from the Quran, the dua that are already in the Quran, the dua that is in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that's what you need. And then the Shaykh Hafidhahullah, he mentioned Nara Ad'iyya in the Quran. There is ayat, which are supplication actually. Like حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. فتعالى الله الملك الحق لا إله إلا هو رب العرش الكريم. الحمد لله وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وله الحمد في الآخرة وهو الحكيم الخبير. حسبي الله عليه يتوكل المتوكلون. مين آيات أخوان؟ لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله، حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. You can say سبحان الله وبحمده، سبحان الله العظيم. طيب، and there is so many آيات. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به، واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا. إذ دعاء، واغفر لنا وارحمنا، أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. These are آيات but they are supplications. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. رب هب لي من لدنك ذرية طيبة إنك سميع الدعاء. Many ayats, but the Shaykh have them all in this book. If you're making Hajj, they give these books free. You will find them, alhamdulillah. Sometimes you just find them everywhere, just sitting, you'll find these books. And then, subhanAllah, the du'as from the sunnah. Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa anta khalaqtani wa ana 'abduka wa ana 'ala 'ahdika wa 'ahdika mustad. Allahumma inni dharamtu nafsi dhulman katheeran wa la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta faghfir li. Na'am, all of this ad'iya. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal hazan wal 'ajzi wal kasal wal jubn wal bukhl wa dara'i ad-dayn wa ghalabati ar-rijal. Na'am. اللهم رب السماوات ورب الأرض ورب العرش العظيم، ربنا ورب كل شيء، فالق الحب والنوى ومنزل التوراة والإنجيل والفرقان، أعوذ بك من شر كل شيء أنت آخذ بناصيتي. الحديث الدعاء، اللهم أصلح لي ديني. There is a lot of dua. Okay, so that's what you do on the day of Arafah. The ulama, it says yes, it's permissible to read, and it's good to have this book with you, because this book has a lot of, maybe, I don't know, a lot of pages that just have the dua. Yes, you can have this, reading like this, and Allahumma inni a'idun. Of course, when you memorize, it's better. But if you don't memorize, there is certain thing that you can say it, Allahumma ghafirli, Allahumma ghafirli, Allahumma ghafirli. But then, there is other things you don't, you can read, inshallah ta'ala, from the book. Barakallahu feekum, hada wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad. على آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.